Now, his point is he doesn't care because he says he gets a great impression. But again, it's about him. And what I've tried to impress upon him that he's not understanding is it's not about his ego. It's not about how good of a dentist he is. It's always about him. That's not the way you look at it. It has to be about the patient.
Welcome to Austin, Texas, and welcome to the Phil Klein Dental Podcast. In this episode, we're diving into the powerful role that modern dental technology plays, specifically the intraoral scanner, and not just in the technical delivery of dentistry, like fabricating crowns and veneers, but in shaping the patient experience itself. Yes, precision and fit still matter, and they always will, but in today's competitive landscape, delivering high-quality clinical results is only half the equation. Patients now expect more comfort, efficiency, and transparency, and practices that can meet those expectations are the ones that thrive. Our guest today makes a bold claim that the intraoral scanner is the single most important piece of technology a dental practice must invest in, not only to remain competitive, but also to gain patient trust, especially during that initial visit when you're meeting the patient for the first time. We'll talk about how dentistry has evolved from a focus solely on the outcome to a dual priority, outcome and patient experience. If your practice isn't aligning with this shift, it could be falling behind. So stick around as we explore why your intraoral scanner isn't just about scanning. It's about survival, growth, and creating that exceptional patient experience. Our guest today is Dr. Rob Ritter, a general dentist practicing cosmetic dentistry for over 30 years. He is a sought-after speaker and writer and currently runs his own training program in Jupiter, Florida. Before we bring in our guest, I do want to say that if you're enjoying these episodes and want to support the show, please follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You'll be the first to know about our new releases, and our entire production team will really appreciate it. Dr. Ritter, thanks for joining us.
It's great to spend some time with you, Phil.
So before we get into the benefit of technology, specifically the intraoral scanner for the patient experience, which I want to really get into today, talk about the technical aspect of the intraoral scanner. How do the accuracy, precision, and dimensional stability of the digital intraoral scans compare to conventional analog impressions?
I'm going to give you the very brief answer, then I want to wheel it back to the very beginning. The answer is the same, if not better, which is going to really cause some feathers to be ruffled by some traditional Luddites who want to continue to put goop in people's mouths. And, you know, I call them chest thumpers, Phil, in that I can take a better impression than anybody else. I can get that beautiful apron 360 degrees. I know how to retract tissue. Okay, let's table all that for a second, because the data, all the research, all the papers will show you that digital chairside scanning is as good, if not better, than a traditional impression when we're talking about specifically tooth-borne restorative procedures. Now, I want to be clear, because what happens is during this, when I'm lecturing, let's say, and I get a couple of Luddites in the audience who take it personally and they get insecure about this. I'm at that point in my career now, Phil. I just call it as it is. They refer back to, well, I've been doing it this way for 30 years. Okay, so let's just say you've been doing it that way for 30 years. Let's take a look at what else in your life you do the same as 30 years. Do you still go to the grocery store to cash a check for cash? Do most of us use an ATM to go get cash out anymore? No. In fact, do most of us use a credit card to pay for anything anymore? No, you use your Apple phone or your Apple Watch, like I went to Publix today, and I tap it to buy everything. So do I do everything the same that I did 30 years ago? No. So the question becomes, why do you do it the same way 30 years ago when the technology has superseded what you've been doing for 30 years?
There are some people that are very good dentists that do answer that I get beautiful impressions. Used to this workflow, and so is my staff, and I'm only intending to practice 5 more years. So for me to revamp everything at this point doesn't make a lot of sense for me personally. That's their answer. But of course, you know, the response to that is you should revamp, because if you want to sell your practice, you should have digital workflow in place. But anyway, keep going.
You know, I love it, Phil. Let's go down that path, because you're absolutely correct. If you're only 5 years or less out, you know, that means that the dentist coming in typically is at a school for 5 years or less. They know now how to use digital chairside scanners. So they're going to have to now invest in a system if you don't already have it there. So that's strike one against you, because they're going to ask the questions that you don't want to answer. Are you doing chairside scanning? No. Your new patients don't get a chairside scan? No. You don't do modelless zirconia? No. What are you buying? What are you buying?
Patients of record that...
You're buying patients of record. You're buying patients of record that is actually going to be very challenging for that young dentist because they've been seeing the old-time dentist for many years who they trust and value. I went through this early in my career. I learned some valuable lessons in this process, right?
We'll be getting right back to our guest in a second. But first, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you're always looking for ways to take your restorative and aesthetic dentistry to the next level. And it really all starts with great dental photography. And the right camera can be the difference between getting the photos you need and actually using them to boost case acceptance. That's why so many practices choose the iSpecial digital dental camera from Shofu. It's designed specifically for dentistry, making clinical photography fast, easy, and incredibly consistent. So there's no guesswork and no frustration for your team. With high-res images, simple one-touch operation, a lightweight design, and a large touchscreen you can use even with gloves on, the iSpecial fits seamlessly into your workflow. And those clear, compelling before and after photos? They make treatment conversations easier and help patients say yes. Bottom line, this is a camera that pays for itself in no time. So check out the iSpecial digital camera from Shofu. You'll be glad you did. Visit Shofu.com and use the code VIVA for a special offer.
So then you come in wanting to do dentistry that's based out of 2025. The patients are not used to that. And what's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to panic and they're going to go somewhere else. So it's a death sentence for the next dentist that comes in there. It really is. I've lived this. I went through this transition.
So when did you go through it in your career? How many years were you practicing?
Well, I'm practicing 31 years, Phil. So I go into a practice years ago, 30 years ago, where he was a drill fill bill amalgam slash PFM dentist. That's what he was. Mm-hmm. He was a successful dentist in that he did very basic procedures. He did them what I would call serviceably. The patients liked him and he didn't charge a lot of money. But it was a wealth of patients in an underserved area that continued to grow. So what do? I go in there and I transform the practice and I lose, 20 to 40% of the patients.
What do you attribute that to?
See, the great thing is if you want to come learn from me, I can tell you all the missteps not to do, right? So it starts with, first of all, do not let the dentist who's leaving send a letter to the patient.
Interesting. And why is that?
That's ego. Why? Because you're basically telling them, I'm not here anymore. It's going to give you a free pass to go somewhere else. Because as we know, dentistry is relationship based. And you're not giving the young dentist a chance to meet, greet, let them know what you're about, let them know that you're there for them just like the older dentist was. You're not giving the patients a chance to meet the new dentist.
Right. So if the existing dentist has already built the trust with the patients, and that dentist writes a letter endorsing you, doesn't that hold some weight?
No, it's not as good. It's not as good as either the dentist staying and transitioning, because the other thing is he left in 6 months. That was the other problem.
I've heard stories where the guy wasn't there the next day. The practice was sold. The patients came in and they said, where's Dr. Smith? Oh, he left yesterday.
He left yesterday.
Right.
Which then the question becomes, why did he leave? Now, if you've got a story that he was sick, they're like, oh, I hope he's okay. All of a sudden, there's some empathy going on. They'll probably give the new dentist a chance to stay. Mm-hmm. Okay. But to just leave a letter and say, it's wonderful serving you. Dr. Smith, Dr. Jones is now here for you. It's not quite the same as the dentist walking into the room and introducing you and saying, oh, he's so or she is so incredibly well-trained. In fact, they can do some of these procedures better than I can, which is a blow to the older person's ego. However, that's the right way to transition it because you're giving them the opportunity to say, ooh, maybe, look, Phil, I'm going to tell you the truth. I wouldn't want to see a dentist at 75 years old. I wouldn't, because I know they're not doing the latest and the greatest. They're not.
Or they may be doing the latest and the greatest. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt on
that.
I think it's rare. Even if they are, physically, there are some limitations when you get older. You lose some dexterity and your precision, your eyesight, things slow down physically.
And I'm going to go back and say there's probably exceptions to the rule where there are some people who are incredibly meticulous and that still have the eye-hand coordination. Maybe some of them are not wearing loops, whatever. But for me, I'm just telling you, I'm not going to see a 75-year-old physician. I'm not going to do it. because I know what's going on in schools, what's being taught post-education now, and I want somebody that's up on the latest materials, the latest technology, that has learned from the best, that can impart that to the patients. That's
Yeah.
what I would want for myself.
Yeah, let me follow up on a point that you made, which was very good. So the dentist is introducing the younger dentist to his or her patients of record, and you mentioned that they would say, theoretically, this doctor is going to do things more efficiently in a lot of ways and better than I did. And that's basically because they're using digital workflow. So let's talk about the key benefits of chairside digital scanning
Sure.
for the GP in terms of workflow efficiency and practice productivity.
So that's where I wanted to bring it. Thank you. That's where I want to bring it back to the beginning. It all starts with the chairside scan, even before the restorative procedure. So in our practice, where we have seven chairside scanners, which is overkill, and believe me, it's overkill, and we've gotten rid of one of two of them. When the patient comes in as a new look, a patient comes into the practice one of three ways. They either come in to get their teeth cleaned as a new patient. They come in as an emergency as a new patient where they broke, chipped a tooth, quote unquote. It's not really a chip, they broke a cusp. Or part three, where they come in for a cosmetic consultation and they want either a rehab or some sort of smile design or some sort of orthodontic procedure. Okay. Each one of those begins with a chairside scan because done by the clinical assistant, because before the dentist goes in there, it's a non-threatening way for the patient to see what's going on in their mouth without being told or sold. So if your clinical assistant brings the patient back, snaps an X-ray at, sits down with them and finds out what's going on, how we can help them, what their primary goal is today, and then take an intraoral camera, either picture or traditionally now we don't even use the cameras anymore, those traditional cameras, we're just using the chairside scanner. The patient gets that aha moment of, whoa, look at this technology in this practice. I guarantee you, because market penetration is now over 50%, it's somewhere between 53 and 57% of dentist offices that have chairside scanners. So right away, the patient's going to come in and say, whoa, this office is different than my last office. They have something I've never seen before. I can actually see my tooth in real time before the dentist ever goes in. Now, when I go in and, my assistant comes to me and says, Dr. Ritter, patient Mrs. Jones is here. She fractured the mesiolingual cusp off of tooth number 19. Of course, it has a huge MOD amalgam in it. I can go in, sit down with Mrs. Jones, eye to eye, knee to knee, heart to heart. Just ask her, hi, say to her, hi, I'm Dr. Ritter. I'm here to help you. What can I do for you today? When she explains that she chips the tooth, I turn around for the aha moment, which is the moment like Tom Cruise in Minority Report. I turn around on the screen and I start using my hands to manipulate the image and flip it around and show her what's broken and make it bigger. And of course, I do the same routine every time. I lean kind of over my shoulder and I go, well, you've seen this before, right? Your last dentist. And what does the patient typically say? I've never seen that before in my life. Bingo, it's game over right there. It's over. In a sense, you're the second consult. Oh, you've never seen this before? We've had these scanners for 15 years. I thought everybody has one of those. Boom. All of a sudden, I've just established trust with the patient that I'm not telling them what to do. They're seeing it in real time by the technology. Patient says, you know what? I'm in the right place.
Do you think the intraoral digital scanner is the biggest digital innovation that we've seen in the last 50 years that has really made an impact on patients where there's truly trust being built and it's a game changer for the practice? Or would you say CBCT is that?
When you think about it, there's probably three things, right? There'd be digital X-rays, there'd be chairside in order, chairside scanners, and then cone beam. I don't think the digital X-ray has as much of an impact for the patient, right? Because you still have to use the cord attached to it. It's still kind of uncomfortable. So take that one out. Then we go to the chairside scanner versus the cone beam. But to be fair and upfront with everybody, I don't have a cone beam in my practice because I don't do any specialized procedures. I don't extract. I don't place implants. I don't graft. I don't do traditional orthodontics. I don't do endo. So there's no need for my cone beam in a practice because I refer all of that out, which is not a smart business decision. I want to be clear. And it wasn't a very smart decision for me now. If I was a young dentist, I'd be taking classes on how to read a cone beam and how to do chairside endo, how to take teeth out, take a good implant course, take a good grafting course. Yeah, I would do all those things now. I didn't do that in my career. But for me, I think, for the patient communication, for the developing the initial trust, I think the chairside scanner supersedes a cone beam. The cone beam, really, you can show a patient, but remember, to them, it almost looks like an x-ray. It's not really user-friendly. You can't use a chairside, unlike a chairside scanner, which can be manipulated within moments. So for me, that chairside scanner changed the dynamic of our practice.
I think the exception to that, for sure, would be a patient who's been tossed around from one practice to another that has a vertical root fracture, and you happen to have a CBCT machine in your office, and you could actually identify, using it properly, a vertical root fracture, and then get down to the root cause of, no pun intended, get down to the root cause of the problem. And that's a game changer for that patient, because they have never been able to definitively hear any dentist say that this is the problem. Because, you know, with 2D imaging, obviously, that's almost impossible. It's impossible to figure out. So endodontically, it's indispensable, but you don't do endo. Diagnostically, I think there's a lot to be said for CBCT at this point, and I think eventually it's going to be in practically every office as they...
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think it's the standard of care. For us, once somebody has, you know, PA radiolucency, there's class 1, 2, 3 mobility. Tapping on the tooth, you know, the old type of diagnosis that we would come up with. Once somebody hits one of those marks for us, we actually make the appointment for them out to the endodontist, the periodontist, the oral surgeon. So we're not bound, you know, we are sending them to another specialist office, who all of our specialists have cone beams at this point.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a cone beam.
I'd love your opinion on this, Dr. Ritter. I've heard a lab tech, and several lab techs for that matter, recommend that dentists, for their first 10 scan cases, provide the lab with both an analog impression and a digital scan for the same tooth. Let's just say it's tooth number 30. And after 10 cases, if the crown fabricated from the STL file fits on the analog model for each of the 10 cases, then you can go fully digital. You don't have to worry about the analog. Does that make sense?
Well, if I wheel it back to 15 years ago when I started, that's exactly what I did. That's what I did 15 years ago, when you either had your models printed from, you know, SLA from the original Lava COS and 3M when they were in the game, or iTero would mill their own models. But since both of them are out of that game, now you're relying on your laboratory to properly mix the gypsum and then the printing quality of whatever printer. Because here's where it gets really interesting, convoluted, complex, and nauseating for dentists. I've always said, now, the real problem, Phil, is we don't know the printer that the laboratory is using. Because ultimately, the scans, you still have to retract the tissue like you would a traditional impression. So let's start there first before we get to the answer. If people think that taking a chairside scan is easier or better, it still relies on proper, you know, obviously preparation design, and you still have to be able to see the margin 360 degrees crisply, whether you use a laser with cord using an electrosurge, whatever, paste. You still have to adequately reflect all the tissue so you can visualize 360 degrees.
We'll be getting right back to our guest in a second, but first, when it comes to digital workflow equipment, it's important to partner with companies that provide premium products with unparalleled service, all at an affordable price. That's why you should check out Shining 3D Dental, a company that offers a complete and integrated suite of high-quality and easy-to-use digital dental equipment. Their local offices are based in California and Florida, so you get in-time comprehensive support. In fact, Shining 3D Dental can furnish your office with an entire suite of digital equipment for under $27,000. This includes their Aoral Scan 3 wireless intraoral scanner, Metasmile 3D facial scanner, and the AccuFab 3D printer with its post-processing equipment. Plus, the Shining 3D Dental digital workflow solution includes cloud storage, synchronization, and software for consultation, analysis, and design. So whether you're taking your first step into digital dentistry or you're looking to add additional equipment, check out Shining 3D Dental's complete digital dental portfolio. To learn more, visit shining3ddental.com.
There is no scanner that is going to allow you for poor tissue control. That just doesn't exist. Okay, so now, all things being said, you send the scan to your laboratory or you take your impression. Now you're relying on one of two things. Either they get the proper ratio to mix the gypsum, and of course, there's expansion and contraction. And it's not to say that it can't be fraught with danger, because how many times taking a traditional impression where it comes back with an open mark, with an open contact. I mean, it does happen. Now let's talk the printer. The problem is now there are some really good printers, but is your laboratory investing in those printers and using the quality printers, or are they using cheaper printers to print models? So I've gone all the way past that for single unit dentistry and gone modelless, where I don't even use a model. So what happens there is if we're going to go modelless with the scan, I want my laboratory to send the first 5 to 7 cases back with the model. Now, it should fit in the mouth. And in fact, I'm more concerned with the fit in the mouth than on the model. But if it makes dentists comfortable that way, that's fine. You know, we as dentists, we learned you want the crown to come back on the model, fully articulated, of course, where then you tap it, right? And you're like, okay. And then you hold it up to the light so you could see if there's any light coming through the mesial distal contact. That's what we were taught in dental school. But ultimately, I don't care about that. I only care of the fit in the mouth. Now, once you dial in the parameters with your laboratory, you can get rid of the model for single unit dentistry. When we're talking, pardon me, full mouth dentistry, that's where the quality of the model is everything. And most of the really good model printers now range somewhere between $15,000 to say $150,000. Some of the better ones, they can do more things with the model printers, and they're faster, right? Some of the less expensive ones, what the labs will do, will compensate and have more of the less expensive ones so they can increase their volume. My main point is that I want the quality and the accuracy to be so good where I have no adjustments for contacts or occlusion in the mouth. Ultimately, that's what wins the game. But if your laboratory is using less expensive printers, all it takes is for a couple of them not to print well, to come back with an open contact or miss a margin. And what happens? The dentist blames the lab. The lab blames the dentist. It's the blame game, right? Then the patient gets upset because they have to come back a second or third time. And then ultimately, what happens is the laboratory will tell you this digital thing doesn't work. Well, we're way past that. When a laboratory tells you that and you're a digital dentist, you need to find another laboratory.
No, it all
You need
makes
to find
sense.
another
But
one.
in the beginning, at least the first handful of cases, would you do both? Send an analog
I guess you
tray
could,
and
yeah. I mean,
let them pour up the model in the lab, or have your lab internally pour up the model and send it out so that you have two versions of that impression. What does that do to help the confidence level that the
well,
dentist
that's what it is, right?
could
It's just
give,
it's,
can give up
well, it's
the
confidence
analog?
in the it's confidence in your laboratory, right? It's confidence in your lab. You're correct. It'd be confidence in your laboratory. And if that makes you comfortable, then do that. But I think you're going to quickly progress to the point where you don't need the model anymore.
So we've talked about how you can attain using an IOS an impression that's as good or better than the traditional tray impression using impression material. But it goes beyond that, right? We've talked about this offline. It's very much related to the patient experience. We're all trying to achieve that exceptional patient experience. Tell us how the intraoral scanner is really a game changer when it comes to the patient experience.
Well, first of all, I think, Phil, I think we have to understand that we have to start at the beginning where patients don't like coming to the dentist. We all know that, right? We know that. So what we're trying to do is make these appointments as frictionless as possible. Meaning, from the moment they pick up the phone, they talk to a human being, from the time they're brought back, we're efficient in the practice. The patient doesn't want to be there, and they certainly don't want to be there for, you know, a long period of time. They just don't. I get it. Now, if you're really efficient and you're working with some really good chairside assistants who know how to scan, and my assistants, we teach them how to scan. So the idea is that before I walk in the room, the pre-scan is already done. And so now when it gets time to do the preparation for a tooth, you know, my thing was always to give a painless injection, which we teach at our course. And then the patient says, you know, for me, okay, I'm ready for the injection. You're like, I've already given it to you. Then when you prep and then you scan, patient says, that's it. They're not used to that. That's not the dynamic workflow they've been going through for years. Their hesitancy is based upon their prior experiences at practices that, you know, might not have kept up with where we are in dentistry today. Because to me, today, it's all about that. It's all about the patient experience, frictionless moments, using technology. But remember, too, I want to make this very clear about technology, Phil. It is not a replacement for care, skill, and knowledge. experience. It's not. It's an adjunct, and it makes things a lot easier for the patient, the dentist, and the laboratory.
We'll be right back with our guests, but first, a quick shout out to Flow Dental, a sponsor of today's show. When it comes to digital imaging, Flow Dental provides every accessory you need to take that perfect image and the barriers you need to keep your patients safe. To view their entire product line, visit flowdental.com. So when you get that patient from another practice where they've experienced the typical impression where the material runs down their throat a little bit and they gag or they are just manipulated in a way when taking an impression, it's just so uncomfortable, and then they compare it to what they're doing with an IOS in your practice, what kind of response do you typically see?
Satisfying and immediate. Here's what will happen. I have a friend that's an analog dentist. He's a great dentist. I'm not saying he's not. He's a great dentist. He's not going to use chairside scanning. He's not. He's older. He's not going to change. And he'll tell me, well, the issue is that the way you scan, the way I take my impression, you might save 30 seconds on your scan than what it takes me. Okay, what he's not understanding is putting that whole tray in the mouth for the patient. Now, his point is he doesn't care because he says he gets a great impression. But again, it's about him. And what I've tried to impress upon him that he's not understanding is it's not about his ego. It's not about how good of a dentist he is. It's always about him. That's not the way you look at it. It has to be about the patient. And if the patient doesn't like having that tray in the mouth for 4.5 minutes or 2.5 minutes with a fast setting material, the new scanner's out. You can scan a quadrant in about, 15, 20 seconds. If you take a full arch scan, it's about 25 seconds in arch. And then a bite takes you another 15 seconds. You're cutting the time in half. The patient doesn't complain because there's no goop. They're not laying back completely back where the thought of the goop can go back their mouth. The patient pops up and says the first thing, I've never had something like that. Oh my, why doesn't, they always say, why doesn't everybody do this?
The dentist you were talking about, who's your friend who does great dentistry, he's not going to be listening to this podcast, right? So you're not going to tell him you're doing this because he's
going
to know.
No, actually, I'm going to send it to him.
Oh, you're going to send it to him. Yeah. Then you must be very good friends. These are the kind
we
of people.
We are very good friends. Yeah. We talk every day. And he's a phenomenal dentist.
Yeah.
He's very good at what he does. He's just not good with technology. He struggled for years to use his iPhone.
Yeah. Well, the point is, I think the point that you made that was so important here, Dr. Ritter, is that he looks at it differently. The patient is coming into his operatory. He's the dentist. His job is to provide good dental care and get a really good prosthesis that fits. And it's not about the temporary inconvenience or unhappiness temporarily of the patient that's sitting in the chair. It's not about that emotional thing. It's about getting the job done. And as far as he's concerned, he could provide a really good prosthesis the way he does it because he knows he's a good dentist, and that supersedes everything. Maybe times have changed now and he's from old school, and now it's more about the patient as far as their experience, because we hear about, you could listen to a ton of key opinion leaders talk about the importance of an exceptional patient experience. That wasn't talked about as much when we were in dental school. It was about more technique and, getting the job done. And I think that's the mindset that your friend is at right now. And he's going to finish his career that way.
And I agree. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But I also think, at the same time, I think you can have both, best of both worlds. I think you can be a great dentist. And I think we should all aspire. Because, Phil, when I left school, my goal was to become the best dentist I could be. My goal every day practicing was to be better the next day than I was today. My goal was to continue to learn and implement and become better every single day, to become an authority, to become the best dentist in my town. Now, it's debatable whether I am or not. I'm not going to be arrogant enough to tell you that, at least not on this podcast. My goal is to become a great dentist, always continually learning, because that piece of paper that we graduate with just gives us an ability to learn. And I thought that the goal was to be a great dentist and at the same time, make the patient happy and do the best job that you possibly can. And the adjunct now is the technology that didn't exist 31 years ago when I graduated. Now, when we take a look at it versus like the Apple store, when you go in the Apple store, what their internal motto is at the Apple store, Phil? Everybody leaves happy. And my goal in the practice has always been everybody leaves happy. Now, that's a very difficult thing to pull off. It just really, really
well,
is.
In a dental practice, it is.
It is. And now Steve Jobs also said, you want to make everybody happy, sell ice cream. because it's a very difficult thing to do. Yet that has to be the goal, because if you only set the goal at mediocre, that's all you'll ever be. So for us, it's about being the best we can be, being the best office we can be, and providing the best services we can for the patient.
Yeah, and
that's how we've made a name for ourselves.
Yeah, and I think you did that successfully. But I think the important point here is that in order to achieve the exceptional patient experience, you need technology to help you do that. And the offices that do not have that technology are now competing with dentists down the block that do have it. And so when the patient, like you said, every patient comes from another dental practice. When they end up in your chair, if you're doing things old school, you may be creating incredibly meticulously accurate impressions and getting great prosthodontics done, and your aesthetic, your smile makeovers are great. But the bottom line is the patient experience is not going to be great. And that's a practice builder for those that have the technology that allow that patient experience to be exceptional. Do you agree?
Yes. And Phil, there's two kinds of practices. There's no average practice now. You're either growing or you're dying. You're growing or you're contracting.
Well, that's a business. That's any business.
Well, that's true. But you know, some people don't think of dental offices as a business. We do now. I think there's been a bit greater emphasis on that, a bit greater awareness on that. And so part of that has to be patient experience, which has now really come, you know, it's in the forefront of what we do as practices now, which is great. You have to get in the mind of the patient. They don't know dentistry. All they know is they had a relationship of trust and value with the last dentist. So you've got to be able, if we go back all the way to the beginning of the conversation, Phil, how are we going to transfer that trust to the new younger dentist who knows technology and wants to utilize it to make the patient and have the patient have a better experience? And I firmly believe that chairside scanning is the pathway towards that goal.
I think you're one of the few KOLs that I've interviewed over the years, and I've done, I don't know, 700 episodes, that really focused on the patient experience in relationship to the digital workflow. You know, we've all been talking about intraoral scanners and printers and STL files and communication with the lab, and they've been focusing on the details of the impression, the scan, and obviating the need to pour up models and cleaning out your laboratory from alginate. All that's been covered, and many other things, but the actual patient experience, it's been mentioned, but I think that it has not been emphasized as well as you've articulated it on this podcast episode, which is very good that we had you on. Thank you very much, Dr. Ritter. We hope to have you on future podcasts on other topics. That was excellent. Thank you very much.
My pleasure to be here with you, Phil, anytime.